Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. We made it! Training camp is here. One practice is in the books. Packers are Super Bowl bound. Can't wait. Very exciting stuff there at Ray Nitschke Field today. Lots of news and notes to go over. I'm sure you'll have plenty of questions as we dive into the proceedings. We've heard from Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, a number of guys in the locker room. And then we'll get to hear, most importantly, from you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide. That's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to you folks talking about the green and gold all throughout the offseason. But now we have a training camp practice to talk about. And yeah, we're not going to try and blow things up a little too much. But nothing wrong with getting a little excited about the green and gold being back out there on the practice field. Sans a couple of guys. I had a video go up earlier today. Hope you'll check that out regarding the news that Elgton Jenkins is dealing with a back injury slash issue. All right. And Colin Oliver, the rookie pass rusher, will be out for a few weeks on the back end of a hamstring injury that the Packers are trying to treat with caution. Certainly hate to see a rookie have to spend multiple weeks on the sideline to start his very first training camp, but that will be the case. And Quay Walker still dealing with the repercussions of a minor surgery to his ankle. Matt LaFleur had talked about this a little bit during the offseason program and or minicamp, that when Quay missed time late in the process of the offseason, Matt had indicated that it was something kind of a residual effect from one of the injuries he suffered during the season. Now we know he had minor surgery on his ankle and will be out, I guess it sounds like, at about a week. We'll see. Brian Gutekunst being asked point blank, well, is this contract related? No, it's not. Of course, he said the same thing about Elgton Jenkins in the back. So we will see if these guys are out there sooner rather than later. Certainly, you really hope so. Both Quay and Elgton, key components on their side of the ball heading into 2025. I put up a bunch of news and notes on the website. Hopefully you'll take a look at that. I don't want to belabor it too much because I know you've probably read a lot about the updates coming from practice. I want to get to your questions. But before we do, of course, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it. You know you want to. You want to see the green and gold. And if you're in the Green Bay area, you should head out to training camp. Which, by the way, it looked a bit sparser than usual there for day one of Packers training camp. I know there was a thunderstorm going through this morning, and there was probably some question about whether they would be outside or relegated inside the Hudson Center. I would expect a much more robust group there tomorrow in Green Bay at Ray Nitschke Field. But we shall see. We shall see. What's going on, everybody? So good to see everybody. Speaking of training camp, here you go. Here's your remaining training camp schedule. You'll see there things got kicked off today, Wednesday the 23rd. The next two practices are much like today. There won't be padded work until you get to that off day on Saturday. And then Sunday at 10:30 a.m., you see that will be the first half-padded practice. They'll most likely be in half pads again on Monday. And then that Tuesday, you see there, the 29th, that will be the first fully padded practice. And then they have, by regulations, the CBA demands, that next day, the first day after they are in full pads, they have to have a day off. So that is the first stretch there from Monday through Wednesday is the first time the pads will come on, and you'll get a little bit of hitting. So, and that's when we can really start talking about, offensive line, the defensive line, who's looking what, et cetera, against each other. I know there were, tweets about guys getting a sack or whatever today. And man, you got to take all of that with a grain of salt because there are no pads. There is no hitting. don't really worry about any of that. But you do pay attention to where guys are lining up, and it was interesting to see the offensive line as situated without Elgton Jenkins roll out there with Rashid Walker at left tackle, Aaron Banks at left guard, and then Sean Ryan getting his first crack at center with Elgton Jenkins' absence, and Jordan Morgan holding down right guard, and then, of course, the newly minted Zach Tom at right tackle. It'll be interesting to see that group work together. I know they switched around throughout the day. We also saw Jacob Monk get in the mix there at center with the ones and also at right guard. Certainly that's going to play out throughout this kind of training camp into the preseason. Once those pads come on, that is going to really heat up. And that's why I'll be in there starting Sunday morning. What's up, everybody? Good to see everybody chiming in. We got Chuck. What's up, Chuck? We got Stu. Football is back, baby. No doubt about it. Dale Norton checking in from Albuquerque. Hello from New York. I hope you're doing well. What else we got here? Thomas, this is a reasonable question. Is it possible Jenkins just isn't crazy about moving to center full time? Certainly you can't dismiss the possibility, right? I don't think that's it, though. And I know, you know, all we have is conjecture and guesswork on the outside, and it becomes a little annoying on our end and probably your end when there are no solid answers in that regard because we won't hear from Elgton. But, you know, I suspect, again, I talked about this a little bit yesterday, I don't see them making the move with Banks in free agency if they haven't talked to Elgton about it and Elgton being okay with the idea of playing center. Now, the financial component is a whole nother world, right? It's a whole nother conversation. But I think the actual act of playing center, I think he's fine. I mean, he did it in college and he was excellent, right? And he's done it a number of times in Green Bay. Remember back in 2020, he had like a 5 or 6 game stretch where he played center for the Packers. And we know, you know, he had to slide in there last year. So I just don't see the actual physical part of playing the position. I don't think that's an issue. I don't think he has any problem there. That's a good question, Rai. Who wins more often in practice / training camp over the years, Gary or Tom? Man, that would be complete guesswork on my part. I will say, oftentimes Gary is rushing against Rashid Walker. That I've seen that matchup a lot more than I've seen Gary and Tom. But even that said, it would be total guesswork on my part. Not fair to either of those guys to even, you know, put a guess out there. But maybe it's something I'll take note of once I get into town and those pads come on. They start those one-on-one pass rush drills. It'll be interesting to look at. Joe, what's going on, man? Could the play of Ryan and Monk influence the Jenkins contract situation? Is Goot whistling past the graveyard in this situation? No, I don't think he's doing the latter there. Ryan and Monk influence the Jenkins situation. I think probably not, because that would indicate that there's some trepidation or question on the Packers end, and it sure doesn't feel or sound like that. You know, as far as Brian point blank today saying, you know, we have fully expect him to be back once his back is ready, and we're going to play him at center, and they're certainly open to looking at the contract down the line, etc. So I don't think whatever transpires, like if, say, those guys play very well, right, and they certainly look up to the task, I don't think what I sense you're intimating is that then Brian starts calling, right, and say, hey, what would you give us for Elgton Jenkins? I don't think that's the case. All of that said, crazier shit has happened, man, so stay tuned. We shall see. Simatovich, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. McManus, more like McManus. Go Cubs, go. We stink right now. Simatovich, I love how you always got to fit your Cubs fandom in there. I appreciate it. I appreciate the passion. But I know objects in mirror look closer than they appear when you're looking at the Brewers. In fact, I think they're tied right now, aren't they? So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed your time on the top. As far as McManus, yes, went 6 for 6 today. Oh, and the Brewers are up 7-2, by the way. That's nice. It's such a crazy difference when you have a kicker that you know and count on and expect to make all of the kicks, right? It's like there's not this breathless kind of over indulgence in what the kicker is doing because, oh yeah, you know, he's out there, he makes his kicks, and on we go with practice, right? Whereas last year, you guys remember, well, they had 3 different kickers in camp, and it was a daily routine about who was kicking, who was making, who was missing. What did they miss left? Did they go short? Were they missed at the right? Blah, blah, blah. Each and every day, breathless coverage of the kicking competition. And now that's all gone. They've got their kicker, and it is a beautiful place to be living. My goodness. Peter, that's a fair question, man. Hey, Nags, is the depth at running back position solid enough if there were to be an injury to Jacobs? I think it is, but the interesting part is what the offense would look like and or morph into if that were to occur, because none of those guys behind Jacobs, whether it's Marshawn Lloyd, who apparently had a good practice today, or Chris Brooks, who caught a touchdown pass during practice today. Manuel Wilson certainly did good work last year as the number two. But, you know, all of that is nothing, even in the same room or conversation, as what Jacobs was asked to do last year as a true bell cow back. You know, and I know Matt LaFleur was asked about it today, the workload, monitoring it, and having to, you know, obviously stay on top of it. But Jacobs, he's ready for another workload like that. And if he were to suffer an injury, the approach on offense would definitely change. I think clearly a lot of the same plays, a lot of the same game plans, etc. But the reliance on the run, and, you know, especially early in the down and distance runs, I would suspect that would change, right? And that's not a knock on any of the guys behind Jacobs. They're just, no one's built like that or runs like that or is as good a player as Josh Jacobs is, right? He is one of the premier backs in the league. So if he were to get hurt, and hell, it's the NFL, man, these things happen, adjustments would be made, you know. But I do think if, for whatever reason, if Jacobs had to miss some time, they got more than enough talent at that position to win football games. Of that, there is little doubt. Jeezy baby, what's up, man? Every time the Brewers win and the Cubs lose, an angel gets their wings. Hashtag go pack go. Hashtag Bears still suck. Hashtag Cubs are mid. Hashtag Brewers winning it all. Hashtag 13-time world champions. Amazing. Hey, there we go. I love it. Thank you. If that's Tyler or Brandy, I'm not sure, but Cheesehead TV reporting. Quay Walker has been activated off the PUP per Tom Pelissero. Well, there you go. Look, all it took was me going live and talking about his ankle, and sooner rather than later, and now here he is, off the PUP, ready to join into practice tomorrow, I would suspect, though. I would caution anybody thinking he's just going to hit the ground running. Think that's probably not going to be the case. I think they will ease him in. Usually that has been the tradition in Green Bay. We all know about the training staff and the medical staff and how conservative they can be and usually are. So awesome news that Quay Walker has been cleared. Great to have him out there starting tomorrow. That'll be great. Ooh, Rai, that's a good question. What are some new wrinkles you predict from Halfley this season? Talked about this a couple of times this offseason. Certainly you need to check out my conversation with Cody from Match Quarters here on the channel. I do think they'll continue in the same vein as far as the disguise goes, and the sim pressures will be noticeable yet somewhat dialed back, hopefully, if they can get a more consistent rush from their front four. But I do think you're going to continue to see a heavy reliance on, you know, cover two and cover three and guys with their eyes on the quarterback and the ability to break on the ball because of that. I don't think you're going to see monster differences. I do think you're going to see more an ability to be more malleable from week to week, dependent on the opponent you're facing. I think that's what this offseason was really about. When you look at all of the kind of transactions and who they brought in and who they drafted, I think a big part of this defense in year two is about being able to utilize matchups defensively, kind of like offensive coaches try to do. But really, you know, we saw today Javon Buller there in the slot, right? But, you know, we also saw Kitana Oladapo there, and we saw Hobbs kick in there with the twos at times. And I do think there's going to be a rotation dependent on what kind of team they're facing. If it's a powered running team, a real physical team, you'll probably see more Bullard on early downs. If it's a team that likes to spread it out and throw the ball around the yard, I think you're going to see probably, you know, more Isaiah Simmons using that athletic ability, sideline to sideline ability. That to me is going to be, I suspect, and obviously we got to watch and find out, but I suspect that is going to be a very noticeable difference from Halfley from year one to year two, because I mean, he did a ton of disguise last year. He did a bunch of stuff that probably wasn't expected, but I think that's going to, that will continue along with more specialization, hyper specialization from week to week, dependent on the opponent. That would be my guess. Toy, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, I hear Andy say line play is useless in camp without pads. I assume they are still working on calls, angles, and where play design. Do we pay attention to mental mistakes from linemen right now, or just no one cares? Thanks. I mean, you know, look, Andy's there. You know, Andy's on the ground. So I would always tell you to listen to Andy. No question about it. As far as like camp and starting off here, this is why I don't get there early anymore, because it is unpadded. Certainly, they're still working, right? It is just really hard for a layman, a fan, even a media member, whoever, especially sitting there on the sideline without the benefit of going back and being able to look at the tape, which all the coaches do and can. The players do. Hell, I remember running into Rasheed Walker eating a salad, looking at his iPad from cutups from the practice he had just been in the locker room last year. You know, they're constantly going over everything right away with a fine-tooth comb, looking at their technique and hand placement and things like that. And yes, to your point, you're absolutely working on what is your angle? What is your footwork? The footwork remains a very important point, right? Your splits, where you, how are you getting out of, whatever your stance is to get to your aiming point, etc. There's all sorts of minutiae that they are certainly working on. But when you look at, oh, so-and-so got a sack, or so-and-so, you know, beat the edge rusher and stonewalled him, like, you just can't put weight, you can't put too much weight on it. You can't put too much stock in it, because everything will be different when the pads come on. You know, it's not that they're not working. They're certainly working very hard. And they've got a lot of like very fine detail work that they'll be going over in film study with their coaches. But us on the outside looking in, it's hard enough when they got the pads on, you know, and the hitting's actually kind of happening to really discern what's happening there along the, you know, line of scrimmage, without the benefit of the tape. So yeah, I don't disagree with Andy. It's like, it's hard to draw much of a real conclusion about anything until those pads come on in the line, on the line of scrimmage, which again is why I don't get there until this Sunday. What else we got here, folks? Brad, what's going on, man? I saw a lot of tight end work today. A really nice wheel route to Jacobs, but he dropped it. The offense overall looked the best that I have seen look this in camp this early. I'm glad you brought that up. The Jacobs thing is very exciting. I know it was like one of the very first plays that they did. Sounds like Hobbs made a good play to break it up. Really good recognition on his part. I love the idea of throwing deep to Jacobs, though. Let's get more of that going. But yes, to your point, nice to see the offense win day one. You know, it ultimately doesn't mean a whole lot, but you'll remember last year, I think the defense, quote unquote, won the day, the first 5, 6, 7 practices. Like, it was always the offense doing the pushups at the end of practice. And today it was the defense right out of the gate having to do the pushups. And this is something I talked about with Pete. I really think Jordan Love being there day one, locked in, ready to go, is going to make a pretty significant, noticeable difference for this offense. And I'm not saying they're going to come out and be the greatest show on turf or anything like that, but they will certainly be in a better spot and look like a more efficient unit, because they have all been together from, you know, drop of a hat, day one, practice one, let's go. I'm very excited to see that continue to develop. Jeezy, baby, you're off to Germany for 2 weeks. Well, Godspeed. Have a great trip, and hope you can tune into the family night stream at least while you're over there. And yes, for the 4,000 of you who have asked, I had a lot of people asking throughout the course of the last week or so, the Packers will be streaming family night again. I know last year was the first time they've done it, and when they announced family night again for this season, there was no indication. I know they had the television coverage, et cetera, but there was no mention of whether they would be streaming it or not. So I've had a lot of people ask me, and I did ask the Packers, and yes, they will be streaming it again. So you will not miss anything. And if you are traveling, hopefully you'll get the chance to look on in, as it were, because gosh knows, that's an exciting time getting the guys in Lambeau and seeing a practice there under the lights. Always a good time. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out. talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the channel. Subscribe. Please subscribe. Every subscriber means the world to us. Cannot thank you guys enough who are already subscribed. Like I said, I'll be in Green Bay starting Sunday morning's practice. And if you see me out and about, please say hello. I every year I'm there and I do see a lot of people, but then inevitably I get home and I'll have an email or two from people who saw me but didn't say hi, didn't want to interrupt you or whatever. Please interrupt me. I know I like talk sometimes about I'm with my family, or I'm with my kids, and I have been there with my kids in tow at times, right? And yeah, certainly family time, I want to, you know, do that. I want to be with my family. But man, when I'm in Green Bay for training camp, I am there as an extension of Packers fans worldwide who can't be in Green Bay. And if you are in Green Bay, say hello. I'm hanging out. I'm trying to say hi to every single Packers fan I can. So please say hello is the bottom line here. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Can't wait to get to training camp. Excited to see what happens tomorrow in practice number two. In the meantime, tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.